the Living Geek.
Alright everybody, welcome to another episode of our Wit Outplay Outcast.com is the URL, and you know what we do when Mike wins Survivor? We do the happy dance, baby! We do the happy dance!
You do the dance. I'm never ever gonna dance. I'm sorry.
I'm so gonna do that happy dance. It looks awesome.
I'll stand on the wall, along the wall, and watch you guys do the dance and smile and nod encouragingly, but I'm not gonna dance.
Well, definitely.
Andy's not gonna dance. He didn't even dance at his own wedding.
Hey, my wedding didn't have dancing because my wife and I are incredibly uncoordinated together. My wife is the clumsiest person I've ever met. Frankly, I don't want to dance with her.
Oh, come on. That's not true. I think you know somebody clumsier.
No. You need to meet my wife more. My name's Annie, and I'm hanging out with my buddy Nick.
Hello.
And my buddy Brian.
Yo.
And we're wrapping up season 30 of Survivor.
A very good season, by the way. But
yeah,
that's...
honestly, I mean, there's a lot of terrible people and bad shit that happened in this, but it was a pretty interesting. Yeah, it was a pretty interesting strategical season of Survivor.
And ultimately, the forces of good won, so that's always nice. And actually, so something I hadn't realized before, but they've said it a couple times, is that at no point in this last 30 seasons have they had as many players in this game, like super fans or whatever, as going at the same time.
Nice.
So that's why we got all that nice strategic play and just general weirdness.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Let's just start from the top. We finally get the loved ones episode.
I have a feeling they're like, we don't want to pay.
That was my exact thought.
Yeah, we don't want to play to ship 15 loved ones over, so we're going to just wait till the very end and only ship 5.
And... we didn't get that shitty walk down the beach and look at all their torches.
What's so shitty about that? That is fantastic.
Oh, it's fucking stupid.
No, okay.
I'll fight the both of you on this one. I love the retrospective.
Okay.
It's okay for them, but like, it doesn't do anything for us. Like, I just saw all this shit.
It's a clip show. It's like a second... It's filler clip stuff.
It's great because you get clips, but then also, like, especially, okay, figure out So, for example. She was in the show for, like, 5 minutes. I want to hear what she has to say about, this is what I learned about myself in this show, and then show, like a clip of, a 5-second clip of her, like, I don't remember what she did. I think she lit fire one time. I want to see that sort of thing. I want to see that. No, I want to see it for everyone. I want to see Vince wax philosophical and all this kind of crazy stuff that happens. I want to see Kelly say 2 words and say, like, this was a fun show. I'm done with this show. Goodbye. And that would be her entire little torch thing. And what's great is when nobody, especially since we're 3 tribes, if nobody actually met the person. Like, I remember a million years ago when they first did the 3-tribe thing back on Cook Islands, you had an African-American and 2 Asians and a Hispanic at the end of this thing, and nobody had met any of the, like, there was one white player that they had never met, and so they're just like, oh, Jim, I don't remember if that's their name or not, Jim, I didn't know them at all, and they just moved on. That was hilarious.
That's about as useful as So would, like, I don't care about So. I cared about So for 3 episodes when she was on my fantasy team and then she got voted out. That's all I care. Like,
I care about her for 3 episodes when she got voted out first.
Because I was really sad.
What are you talking about?
I was really sad that she was gone for a while. I was deeply depressed, I guess. I don't know. I forgot that she went first. But, like, they've shortened the season by a couple episodes and they only had 2 hours to do, they only had 2 hours to do both of those and the reunion. And, like, if it's between the family stuff.
3 hours.
Okay, yeah, but it was 2 hours to watch online.
Well, I'll put it this way, because I see what you're saying, but I'll tell, like, if they're gonna not have that little salute to fallen heroes or whatever, then like ask each person a question in the hour-long finale. If you're gonna ignore people, like, we didn't hear anybody who wasn't on the jury.
That's a little frustrating.
Even of the people who were on the jury, like, we didn't hear anything from Haley. We didn't hear anything from a couple other people. So if you're not going to ask everyone, then just do the hokey walk down memory lane, grab the torch, throw it in the fire. Do that for me.
Bullshit. You don't need to hear from anybody. They all say the same stupid shit. This is what I learned and how I'm going to be a better person. Bullshit. You're going to be the same fucking person you were before you played this game. Nothing is going to fucking change. You're so full of shit.
You're just going to brag about having been on Survivor, and your Survivor photo from, like, the lineup is going to be your Facebook profile picture for, like, the next 3 years. And then you're going to finally get over it, and then you're going to be the same person. I mean, some of them, the ones who were there up until the merge, like, the people who had, like, genuine experiences there, I'm sure they will change. But for me, if you have to choose between, like, the retrospective and the loved ones stuff, give me the loved ones every time.
Oh, no, I agree with you there. Like, I'd rather see the loved ones.
It's sappy, and it's about as useless, but I really do, like, I love the stuff when, like, they mow each other over, or, like, when the person just starts bawling before their loved one even comes out. Oh, like, it's adorable.
Or when you, as a viewer, are forced to acknowledge the humanity of the people that you hate. Like, oh, even they have someone that they love.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a dad I call bro.
Oh god, that was my thing. Like, okay, don't get me wrong, because that actually was a very beautiful moment when I made the mistake, I watched the Ponderosa, because I knew who won because I follow stuff on Twitter, and go figure, they will spoil the shit out of that. Yep. But I saw the Ponderosa before I saw the episode, and so when Rodney has a little heartfelt moment about, hey, you know what, I put my sister's death behind me and I put a lot of my beasts to rest and that sort of thing, I was like, when
that
he
was awesome
happened,
his Ponderosa
yeah
video.
It was great. But when it happened in the episode, I was like, yeah, I heard this. Fast forward. Whatever. So but, all I could think was, you call your dad bro?
The other thing is that this matters for some players. Like, it really did energize Will. And for the first, like...
It energized Will for 15 first, seconds.
Okay, but, like, the
so
first 30...
So he dove through a net, Andy.
No, he went through the net, and he did the thing, and he was right up... He was in it until he had to stack those things on the machete. And just, he didn't have the coordination for that. He didn't have
anything. He wasn't even... He couldn't...
He was in it after he came out of the net. That was the only time.
No,
exactly.
No,
because
only...
you watch it. He was the third person to finish throwing his tiles at the frying pan, which I thought was a nice touch. Like, it could have been just a sheet of aluminum or something. It could have been a cookie sheet. Yeah. They made it a frying pan. Why not? And so he was, like, the third one out. And by the time he even got there to, or, like started putting pieces down, he was so far out of it, it didn't matter. Will was not good at this challenge.
Compared to how Will had been, it was really refreshing to see how just, like, It energizes people to see their loved ones, to know what they're fighting for, to know that it, like, aside from the being tired and hungry and all that stuff, being out there, like, you notice in the Ponderosa videos for the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, people just talk about, like, man, it is so nice not to have to, like, question what everybody says and backstab and, like, worry, but, like, it reinvigorates you to see these people and realize that there's a world outside of this and not everybody's shitty to everyone all the time. And that's just here. That's just in Survivor. It's just for now. It doesn't feel like it because you've been out there for like 30 fucking days, but it is just for now. And that matters for a lot of people. And I think that really did reinvigorate Will because, like, he turned into a shitty fucking person out there and people called him on being a shitty fucking person. And I'm sure he saw his wife and was like, that's one person who's not going to think I'm a shitty person. And like that. That's a pick me up if nothing else. I mean, they're married, so
because during the reunion when, like, the Charin was talking about, like, and you shouldn't be, you know, I want to make sure this never happened to him. And she goes, his wife yells at, he'd never do that to anybody. Obviously he would.
Yeah, he did. And
she's wearing that I stand with Will shirt. She's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. It's like, it's got to be a huge thing in their lives because he was the YouTube guy, right? And he's getting eviscerated all over social media. So
deservedly so.
It's got to be a huge thing for him.
Yeah. Well, they'll never be on YouTube again, unfortunately. Yeah. Whatever.
That was the reward, and Mike's mom comes back to camp, and Mike's mom's awesome.
Oh, his mom is so nice. Like, you could tell that's why Mike is such a great guy. It's like, she was so down to earth. Honestly, she reminded me a lot of my mom. Like if I was ever on this show, I feel like my mom would have the same reactions. Although that said, if my mom was on the show and there was a challenge, I would just be like, sorry, mom, I'm going to throw this challenge because you would not make it 2 days on this island.
Oh, my mom would love the shit out of it. My mom's been, she's watched Survivor since season 1. She would lose her shit out
but
there.
My mom would just be like, I don't know what's going on? I gotta go to the bathroom in the forest? I'm not gonna do that.
Go into the cave then. Go into the Shurin cave.
But they get
a little advantage where they get to wander around for 30 minutes, and there was like a huge thing in there. That's a big bonus.
Yeah, that I was actually really surprised. Like, Mike felt really bad. That it's like, oh my god, this is gonna be terrible. I'm not gonna stand a chance because, you know, it was a half hour and I didn't come through at all. But he dominated that challenge largely because he had that 10 minutes before they started where he could look at the thing and see how it worked. And then that whole half hour to get himself acclimated to being blindfolded. So it was a big advantage, huge advantage.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry.
Even with everybody else.
Mike's mom hears this. I want to let you know, I want to give you the biggest hug for thinking you failed your kid. You did not fail him in the least. You are so, such a great mother. I want to give you a hug, Mrs. Holloway.
I mean, if they're worried about it not working, like, four of them teamed up to try and beat him and, like, figure out this mage together. I mean, they did it stupidly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. After he's already got two and you're on their first one, it's kind of too late to do that.
Well, also, you're going one by one getting the medallions, and Rodney's like, come over here, get this one. And then they wander around, okay, now come over here and get this one. Like, what you should be doing is all four of you go to a different one and then meet up at the immunity necklace and hand all of your medallions to one guy and have that guy grab the thing.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of it.
They should have planned that out ahead of time. I think if this is the thing, though, is they're like these people, like they're game players, but they're not smart.
Well, we don't know for sure if that would have been allowed within the rules. Like someone may have asked.
Yeah.
So that's up in the air. Because I mean, I think if that's allowed, you're right. That would have been the greatest thing ever. But also.
They would have totally fought over who got it, though.
Exactly. They would have been like, oh, there's no way. Yeah, so
for the guaranteed shot in $1 million, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rodney, I'm sure, would have said, oh, I need this.
Yeah, because
I need this, bro. I've never won anything, bro.
Actually, Rodney wouldn't say that he needed it. He was so convinced he was going to win.
Yeah.
He's still convinced, which is even... So here's the great
thing. That was hilarious, too, at the reunion.
At the reunion, when he only got three, like they... All right, hypothetically speaking, let's do the vote right now. Rodney's in it, Will's in it, Mike's in it. They do this hypothetical vote. He still loses 3-5, I think it was. Yeah. And he's still convinced, like, oh, man, I would have won. It's like, you didn't get enough votes, even in the hypothetical.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Like, so. And yeah, you're right. Like, hypothetically, in this pretend scenario, sure, I'll throw Rodney a bone. But that's the thing, is you don't even know unless you're in the real situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so he gets the immunity, and then we get to Tribal, and oh god, my favorite part is Dan.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
His rubber face the entire time.
So, I'm gonna do my Dan impression for you guys, and I'm gonna do it over the audio, okay? I want one of you, let's say Brian, talk about something semi-serious, or just tell me what you've been doing in World of Warcraft lately, and I'll do my Dan impression while you talk.
Well, lately I've been trying to get more mounts.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Man.
What?
I'm
God,
you're making him laugh
too
much. He's trying to talk about an Anixia. Come on.
Jesus.
Anixia.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I got Anixia a long time ago. But I tried to kill it like a million times.
Like, that was Dan this whole time. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, everything Mike said, Dan met it with like this super exaggerated rubber faced grin and all that kind of stuff. That was just off. And you're right. You could hear him just shouting, "Come on!"
Yeah.
To the point where I think in the second half of this episode, when they announced it's gonna be a fire building competition, he busts into laughter, and they don't even bother editing it out.
Yeah.
Because he knew both of them would be shit, I think.
Yeah,
but that's the next trouble. So this one, Sierra ends up getting voted out.
Which made me... I mean, okay, at first I was like, why? Why would you do that?
Yeah, my immediate reaction was that probably was the wrong choice.
But, exactly. No, Brian's correct. I think that in the long run, if she had made it to the final three... Maybe she wouldn't have, or maybe Dan or Mike wouldn't have won, but odds are he still would have. But that's the thing. It's like, why if you can guarantee you $1 million, why not do it?
This is what I'm going to say. Like, I feel like Carolyn had a better shot at winning than Sierra. Because Sierra didn't do as much. Actively, Carolyn made a lot of big power moves, and I think she played a way better game than she gets credit for, both in terms of the voting and, like, fan support and stuff. Like, sure she played a really good game.
They couldn't see it from there. We saw everything she did, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, we have the benefit of those confessionals, and even then, like, the couple of people... She screwed over a couple people real, real bad. Like, Tyler didn't vote for her, and Tyler was her best friend.
Yeah.
I feel like Tyler would have voted for Sierra. I feel like Shireen would have voted for Mike for sure. Dan probably would have voted for Sierra because he was just so angry at Mike.
Dan ended up voting for Mike, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, I think Dan, all Dan needed to hear was the sincere apology.
I don't think
it would have mattered who else was out there.
Dan, I feel, ended up voting for Mike because it was an option between... He got the sincere apology that he wanted, so he got to feel important and like, oh, I'm the bigger man here for accepting the apology for the thing that I did that was bad. But it was that vote for him or vote for Will or vote for Carolyn. And he couldn't respect Carolyn, and Will didn't do anything, so I feel that was the reason. But Sierra, had she been there, I feel that she would have gotten his vote. She would have been able to say something like, oh, look, I outlasted you, and look, I hung in with him, and I stayed strong with my alliance the entire way through. I didn't screw anyone over.
She could pull the loyalty card, and we know a lot of them up there are suckers for it.
Yeah, she was my dark horse candidate. Survivor, they tweet a whole bunch during this thing. They tweet way too much during each episode. But one of the things they asked was, hey, who do you think is going to win? And that was my answer, was I feel like Mike's going to win. All right, but if he doesn't win immunity for both of them, I totally think Sierra could have won that.
Yeah. So anyway...
Sierra's voted out.
Yeah, Sierra's voted out.
That, yeah. So as I'm saying, I think she could have won. She gets voted out.
Yeah. And Sierra came into this pretty slender and like lean and mean, and even she lost 21 pounds. Like, I really wish we could have found out how much Will had lost. I'm sure I could find it on the internet somewhere.
Well, did you see him at the reunion? He looked pretty svelte.
Yeah, especially compared to what he was when he went in. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Man, instead of being a fat sack of crap, he is now a thin sack of crap. So good for him. We'll get into that in a minute. I wrote a big-ass rant. I do not like this man. But yeah.
Yeah. So Sierra, there's not much to say for Sierra. Sierra's Ponderosa was pretty uneventful, too. But everybody there seemed to like her, so, you know.
Yeah, nice. I mean, that's the whole point, is she didn't do anything wrong, necessarily. Really, the only thing she did wrong was be a bystander when Shireen was attacked by Will, but... To the point where, as you've said before, that we, you know, bystander effect, you can't really get onto someone's case for that, like, the way you want to. And even Shireen was just kind of like, all right, we're friends now. I understand what you went through, and you're sorry, and I accept your apology. Mm-hmm. And since then, like, I mean, so I started following Shireen on Facebook once, or Facebook, sorry, other one, Twitter.
Twitter.
Once she started her, you know, I'm going to donate campaign, because I wanted to be able to tell her, hey, this is an incident. You should donate for that.
Yeah.
And apparently they've been taking a bunch of pictures together. She and Sierra and Jen and Mike Shireen are like
awesome,
best to best.
Awesome on Instagram.
Great. You should follow her at the Shireen. She's probably not going to be posting for a couple of months. Go figure. Because spoiler alert, she's on the next season in Cambodia. Good for her. In the unlikely event you ever hear the Shireen, congratulations. I'm rooting for you. But yeah, so Sierra, no enemies. Everyone likes her. Really, the thing that I thought was kind of neat about hers was the way she just instantly got along with everyone. Like, as soon as she got back, just everyone was like, all right, cool. Let's hang out by the pool and hang around in bikinis and just talk for a bit. And it just seems so natural and nice, especially after Dan and
and the hanging around in bikinis was real nice.
Thanks, Andy. I didn't have to say it. No, I didn't see it either.
It's a good one, actually. It really is kind of interesting, because she had some good points about, I'm not, she said she isn't a very social person, well, I'm sorry, deceitful person. Just kind of hangs around with her horses and does not do too well in crowds. And so I can get it.
She never has any reason to lie or deceive anyone. So it really came unnaturally to her.
Yeah. My only complaint.
She didn't, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only complaint is you've been there 37 days, Rodney. How can you not know how to spell her name?
Dude, especially after she saw... He does it on purpose. He spelled it differently, like, every time.
No, he's not.
What are you talking about? Rodney did spell it right when he voted her out.
No, he spelled it with a C.
C-I-A-R-A is how he spelled it.
That's right. He spelled it the other way.
Yeah. Ciara.
That other chick from the one season.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And I just learned about her. There's a Ciara from a previous season who was spelled that way. But even then, I feel like, come on. After the first time, she was probably like, Rodney, sir. S-I-E-R-R-A. There you go.
No, he's just fucking around. Anyway, yeah. We get to the second immunity. Yeah. Second immunity. And I like these
water
last...
slides.
I love these last ones because, man, I want to record the shit that Jeff says. And use it when I go to the gym. Like,
you gotta dig deep.
Like, this is it. There's nothing left. This is the last one. Whatever you don't put on the field is getting it's getting sent the fuck home. Like,
you gotta give 110%. There's nothing after this.
110,000%.
Oof. After this season. Man, if there was a drinking game to this season, it would be A, number one, anytime someone says birthday. B, number two, anytime someone says percent. Because I swear to God, they did it so many times. And then probably
in this episode, Will says 150,000%. Mike says 1,000%. God damn it. Unless you're talking about quantity of something, there's no such thing as more than 100%.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. And they've been doing that all season. Yeah. Even, like, because I first noticed it way back, way, way million years back, a couple weeks ago when we had our guest host, Kenneth. Because we talk about little linguistic quirks like that all the time because we're goddamn nerds. And that's one of my pet peeves when people say, like, give 110%. It's like, oh, that's not physically possible. That's just making 11 louder. Yeah. So, no, that was definitely a thing that's happened a lot this season.
I also like these because it shows you who has acclimated to it.
Yeah.
Like Mike, I think Mike could have lived out there for another 2 months.
Oh, easily. He was
it
happy.
It would have sucked, but he could have done it. Like, he was used to that diet, used to being out there, used to sleeping on that bed. Like, he acclimated.
He went native.
Yeah. Well, he went native day one eating a fucking scorpion.
And I'm real glad in the beginning of this episode when they recap everything that's happened throughout the season, they chose to show that. Because that was... probably one of the highlights of this season.
It was fucking great, and I'm so pissed at myself for dropping the Scorpion King in fantasy.
I'm so happy you did.
I could almost come back this week just by Mike alone.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yeah,
this was pretty close.
This Mike was a really cool immunity challenge, not just because it prominently featured water slides, and I used to have birthday parties at Gulfland all the time just because they had water slides. So I would have had so much fun on this one, but also because you got to see people like hike up that giant ass staircase looking like they were about to have a heart attack and die at the top.
Yep.
Yeah, and was the young, really fit guy the one that was like the fucking worst at it? What the fuck, Rodney?
Rodney's not good at challenges.
He's young
and fit, but he's terrible at every challenge.
In fairness to him, this was finally something that was somewhat physical, and he did the physical part of it just fine. It was the puzzle part where he was just like, I don't know how puzzles work at all. Like, he got there maybe a couple, like, not even 20 or 30 seconds after Mike started his puzzle, Rodney started his own, and he could not figure it out whatsoever. He did not get a single piece up there,
which puzzle was this one? I laughed my ass off.
That was the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you know what? There was a really nice moment at the end of this challenge when Will was like, Will and Ronnie. I mean, they're assholes, but I like that they had that sense of mutual respect.
Thank you for setting me up. This is a bump set spike. I'm going to spike this shit over the net. And you know what? Fuck Will. No, I'm serious. Okay. So here's the thing. He's been, as you say, he's been a jerk this entire time. so like saying stupid shit and doing terrible at challenges and just generally being kind of awful. Like, remember earlier they were saying, like, hey, who do we want to vote off? Well, Rodney hasn't done anything, but Will, he occasionally does stuff. He sometimes gets wood and maybe once in a blue moon gets water. He has done nothing but sit in his chair. He is terrible and awful in challenges. And on team challenges, he has been a handicap to his team. And he's just managed to go grab some rewards or whatever. He has just been awful. And now all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm Mr. Sportsman. Congratulations, Dan. He may as well have been Mike, whatever. I'm so angry I can't even tell the difference between the two. Oh, congratulations, Mike. Thank you for winning. Oh, please don't vote me out. Please don't vote me out. He was basically filleting Mike. And the minute that he won the challenge, he's like, I'm going to suck up to you as much as I can so you don't vote me out. You know what, Will? Fuck you asshole. It's like, later on he says, oh, finally, there's no more strategy, no more backstabbing. You haven't had any strategy this entire game. Your strategy has been, let someone else get voted out. And not even like, what's her name, who actually won this game with that strategy. I can't remember. Sandra or whatever from Heroes vs. Villains, yeah. I think is the answer. Her strategy was, just don't vote me out. But when someone did said, well, maybe we should vote her out, she actively took charge of the situation and got someone else voted out. She fooled Russell Hansen into voting out one of his own allies. She did something. You have done literally nothing except abuse a woman on this show. So don't you goddamn dare say, like, oh, well, now we're a family. And combined, Mike and I have combined for 5 immunity wins because you did nothing. You shit. Thank you. It feels good to get... This is week 13 of this show. Feels good to get it out. Will, if you're hearing this, and I know you're not because you're just on YouTube pretending you have a real job, a real life, whatever, you are bad at this game. I'm not going to go so far as to say you're a terrible human being because I'm sure you know what, you're really not.
I will.
You're definitely not a very good one. You are completely unaware of what you're saying and doing and the ramifications it has on other people, and actions have consequences. So,
Brian, you're my favorite. I will.
I hope you never show up on this show again. Okay, that's the end of my little piece. Thank you for letting me get it out. I'll be sure to tell my shrink next time I see her that my angry feelings are gone.
And so we come from that to probably my favorite moment of the last, like, 2 months of watching this show. When Mike goes up to Carolyn and says, you know what, Carolyn? I'm going to make you dance. Dance for me, Carolyn, dance! Make fire for your new god!
See, I would agree with you that that's what he was saying. I would agree with you, except he didn't seem to lord it over her that way.
No.
If he really wanted to, he would have told Rodney, hey, I'm going to make you dance too.
No, what he did was really smart.
Strategic move.
He wanted to really have Carolyn go. He didn't want Rodney to be there because he knew that Rodney would be more of a challenge for votes than Carolyn. Because Rodney could give the argument, look, I'm here without ever having won anything. Yeah. And you might think that's a detriment, but that just serves to show you how great I was at the social game. And he would have a point. It's horrible, but he would have a point. And instead, Mike turned that on his head and said, actually, look at these two people. I bet neither of these two people have made fire once on this show. I bet neither of these two people have barely done shit around camp this entire show. And Mike, it's Mike's point to show that. So that whichever one wins, like, either way, Mike comes out on top. Because Mike says, look, I was the one who got all this fire. I was the one who did all of this work. And these two are the ones who are fighting for a chance for $1 million. And look at how terrible they are at being out here. We've been out here 40 fuck damn days.
They can barely survive.
Yeah. That was what he was going for.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked fantastically. So good job, Mike. Like everyone says, oh, he's a dumb redneck. But you know what? He may be a dumb redneck, but he is the smartest dumb redneck out there.
Yeah.
And oh my God, Carolyn, like, really? She's striking the damn flint. The pile of coconut husk is, like, slightly, like, below her waist level. And she's holding the flint, like, up by, you know, her chest. flicking it. Like, you're like fucking 4 feet from the thing, you idiot. Of course it's not catching.
She's scared of it. Like, she never made fire.
And I'll tell you, that's the funniest thing of all, because it took them an hour to make fire. And I remember, if you remember way back in Cook Islands, wow, that's the second time we've referenced Cook Islands in this episode. Anyway, if you remember way back in Cook Islands, Becky and Sundra got in a fire making competition. And after a half hour, Jeff was just like, you know what? Stop, stop, stop. I'm going to stop this. Here are matches, you guys. Just make fire with matches. And they didn't do that this time, so I'm sure Sundra and Becky...
And they could barely do it still, was the best
part. Yeah, actually, that was the great thing, is Sundra actually used all of her matches. And Becky was on her last match. I would love to have seen what happened if they had run out. That's still...
Jeff just would have gone over there and lit it for them, and been like, okay, build it higher now.
You are both gone. You're both disqualified. Yeah. We were going to do a final three, not anymore.
I wonder how long it would have taken if they would have done this time. Like, just bring more flint.
They brought more flint. Like Carolyn broke like three flints just by striking it as
hard. Smacking it too hard.
Yeah, and nobody could make fire. But what's great is if you go back and watch it, Dan is encouraging Rodney, and he's like nodding his head. Oh, you can't see me. God damn it!
Yeah, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was doing the same thing as that challenge a little bit ago where he was doing the whole, yeah.
Like the holding on for dear life one?
Deep, hold on as big as you can. Take it and grip it and rip it and put it. Yeah.
So what you're saying is he was eye fucking it.
Get wood, Rodney. Get wood. It's like,
since he couldn't say that, he was basically just eye fucking Rodney during this challenge.
Well, he was eye-fucking him until the very, very end when Rodney's fire wasn't going so well. He's like, get wood, Rodney, get wood. So he actually went through with it, too. He said it as well as just thinking it.
Yeah. I mean, after an hour of being totally boring to the point where, like, half of the jurors just sitting there yawning, this got exciting right at the end. Like, I was
rolling around. Nothing happened, and then like 3 seconds apart, they both started their fire.
Yeah,
but the thing, if you look at it though, Carolyn clearly had that thing because Rodney was just burning husks. It was nice and hot and big, but it was a really weak fire because it was being blown by the wind. He never even touched his twine. Carolyn, hers, she just built it up, and then burned right through that rope, and then did a little dance and decided.
I mean, Carolyn
gonna get second place. Yay for me!
Carolyn, at the very least, has seen a video of somebody making a fire sometime, or seen an image of what a fire looks like, and knew to make a teepee.
Yeah,
fucking Rodney. There's a little bit of flame. He's just throwing wood on it like it's a flat pile.
Well, not even that. Before he got his little flame, Rodney was just blowing at it, like because all right, fire needs oxygen to breathe to burn. But he's such a goddamn blowhard that he blew it out three times.
Like, no, you can't blowhard this. You have to.
You have to finesse it. You have to finesse it. And unfortunately, he doesn't know what that word means, and he would spell it with a Q.
Yeah. And then, of course, Rodney loses, and he exits exactly how we all expected him to. And I'm like, he's talking about, afterwards, he's talking about Mike. He's like, he's just a silly redneck. And it's like, Rodney, you're not a whole lot better than a silly redneck. You're an idiot from the shitty part of Boston.
Yeah.
You're a goddamn Southie.
What's really kind of cool, though, I give him credit, and thank God the editors decided, let's have a little bit of mercy on him. Like, in the reunion show, the very first thing they say is, hey, remember, he just got voted out. Here's what happened 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
And they show him, and he's like, he's calm. He's collected. If you hear this, Rodney, collected.
Calm and collective.
In it. And he's collected, and he's talking about, all right, the initial shock's over. And that was pretty good. And you know what? I've come to peace with all the stuff that's happened to me, and I'm good again. That sort of thing. And in his Ponderosa video, he actually was pretty good. He was still blaming everyone but himself. Yeah,
Brian, please, just you don't have to watch the whole thing. Just watch the first 30s. I mean, the whole thing's pretty good. Just watch the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Of Rodney.
Like, actually, honestly, so for me, the great part was when Sierra let him into into his own personal bathroom, because he really looks like he's been abducted by aliens. Like, he's kind of shuffling around and eating chicken in one hand, and then he sees himself in the mirror, and he's just like, what have I become? Like, You know, that sort of thing.
What happened here?
Yeah, once he has his shave, he has his shower, he's cleaned, he has some new clothes on, he starts talking to Joe, and then obviously, like, the thing is, both Joe and Sharon, in their own separate little moments, say, like, how hard is it to make fire? You're going to be on Survivor, just yeah. make some goddamn fire in your
that
back.
That was Joe's, like, whole thing was like, bro, you're going to be on Survivor, practice shit. How do you not do this a little bit before you come the fuck out here?
Yeah, he thought he could just take a free ride the entire way. And that's why I don't think he would have won. Even if he had made it to the end, in theory, I don't think he could have gotten enough votes. He would have gotten enough votes to get
apparently
second.
Not.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, well, because he thinks, oh, I could have swayed another person or two. And it's like, no, you probably couldn't have.
No, no. Although there was a nice moment in Ponderosa where he's reflecting and talking about how he found closure in his real life and Survivor enriched him and let him do these things. And I don't think he saw Survivor as having changed him so much as being the catalyst for the change that he needed to make as a person. And
yeah.
What's nice is after seeing Dan's Ponderosa, it's nice to be like, okay, Dan was like, I'm not trans at all. Well, clearly you are, Dan. Clearly you did
I was
did
perfect
change.
To begin this thing. I don't yeah. need to change.
Rodney, at the very least, has an iota of introspection and was like, no, I am a different person. And I genuinely think that it's going to make Rodney a better person.
Yeah, and you can see it, too, because he said in his I don't remember if it was in his final interview or if it was in his Ponderosa interview, but he said he had a lot of anger built up inside of him at the start of this. And if you look, like, okay, he's had some explosions in the latter half of this since the merge, but those were different. Like, his explosions, like, at Lindsay and at Mike before the tribes even mixed...
Yeah.
Those were like genuine anger. Like I'm gonna fight someone. I want to punch someone in the face.
Yeah.
But
rage.
Exactly. Like roid rage kind of things. But after the merge, he exploded once or twice. But it was a tactical thing. It was like during the auction. After the auction, he realized, oh crap, Mike is gonna out us. I'm gonna explode so that it deflects the attention. Yeah. It wasn't real anger, and you could see that even when he was being interviewed immediately afterwards. He was like, "Yeah, Mike's right. You know, I
he had me dead to rights there.
He had me dead to rights. So I've got to work Dan. You know, that sort of thing. Like he immediately like seemed to have calmed down. And that's the thing. It's like it looks like he may have worked out some of those anger issues. Now, I mean, that's the thing. It's some. Changes take a long time to actually happen. So hopefully, you know, in the time since then, now he appears to have decided to just become Joaquin, which is really scary. But hopefully his life has changed since then. Who knows?
So,
wait, before we're done talking about Rodney, I want to say that I usually don't get too excited, you know, watching the show. But twice during this episode, I jumped up and cheered out loud. The second Carolyn's rope burned all the way through. Like, yes!
It was nice seeing him finally. Well, because here's the thing. He needs to change, and he looks like he might be changing. But at the same time, you don't want to see him win in this state. Because otherwise, he's just going to stay in this state forever. So the fact that he got voted out was great. And not just voted out, but voted out and lost. Yeah. Like, there's no, yeah, he had a
chance.
He
said it over and over that he would have preferred to just get voted out outright and not had to do this dance.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, dance for your new god.
He is.
Dance for your new
Never
survivor overlord.
A single thing the entire season.
No, that's right, he did it. Not even this. Oh my god. The one challenge.
No. Wait, did he? Yeah, you know what, you're right. The only things he
the
won
one that
were
he needed.
Early.
He had 40 days to practice this one, and he just did.
Well, why would he need to? He always had someone else make fire for him.
Yeah, just be cool, calm, and collective.
I'm just going to say cool, calm, and collective, bro. Well,
so,
the good news is we never have to do another Rodney impression ever again.
Oh, I'm carrying over to next season. So this gets us to the jury, and I love the jury every time, but I'm discovering that I'm learning to love it less and less, because you know what? There was like, crazy, still a Mike witch hunt, like calling him like paranoid and a liar and treasonous and all these fucking things. And it's like, come on, you've been at Ponderosa, Dan, you know, ask about it. Like, it's not just Dan, like other people were convinced that he was just like paranoid and shit.
That's the thing I don't get, and I'm really disappointed Jeff Probst didn't ask during the finale, the reunion, rather. Like, they never seem to have owned up to the fact that, yeah, we really were trying to vote him out. He had every right to be paranoid.
Yeah.
So I don't know what was going on with
that. Why didn't he ever say that, like, during the fucking final tribal council, when they're calling him paranoid? Why didn't he pipe up and say, like, well, you really were trying to vote me out? So...
He's tried. Multiple times he's tried to convince them. I mean, the only time he could have done it would have been during the reunion when they'd all had a chance to watch it and see it and know. But, I mean, I get the feeling at that point, by the time the reunion comes around, like, Jeff says, did you guys mend fences? And they were like, yeah. And I think Jeff was like, I want to get into the abuse stuff, so I'm just going to scoot right past this.
Yeah.
Make time for the important
thing. Which is a bit of a wasted opportunity. I would like to have heard that. But then again, also, you realize he probably would not have admitted to wrongdoing in this case. So, who knows? I'm rolling my eyes so hard that they might stick. Yeah. But,
like, the thing that gets me more and more, and I feel like it's happening more and more as we get more tribals and as this show and this game goes on, is when jury members come up to ask questions, every question is basically, what can you tell me right now to make me feel better about not winning? And it's like, and I think Tyler even phrases it that way to Carolyn, yeah, like, what can you give me to mend this fence? And like, Carolyn doesn't have to give you shit. This is fucking Survivor. Suck it the fuck up. And right as I'm thinking that, my Survivor waifu, I've decided, my Survivor waifu comes the fuck up, and they're like, she's like, I don't have anything to say to you three Survivors. I'm going to turn like, this is fucking Survivor. She like lays it into the jury, and I'm like, I love you, Jen.
Awesome. You are absolutely right, because Jen called the jury out on their own bullshit. Like, Dan says, oh, I'm such a super fan of this game. I'm so great at this game. I respect this game. And then at the same time, we said this last week when he got voted out, his entire Ponderosa episode was all about blaming Mike for making Survivor game moves.
Yeah.
And it was such a hypocritical moment. She called out him. She called out Tyler. She called out Rodney. I was trying to think of anyone else who's... Because the sad thing is, anyone who was any good as a human being was on that jury. And they were on that jury early. Mm-hmm. Everyone else after that was just god-awful. And so she called them out and said, you guys are full of shit. I don't... You need to learn that this is a game. If you're going to say it's a game, you got to treat it like a game. And they weren't. So, good for you, Jen. I was on the fence about you for a long time. I didn't see what Andy liked so great. But when you called them out, I was cheering right along.
I love her so much.
Oh, the best part where she's like, "What are you? Look, guys, Mike wins. Do you not get it? Look at Mike."
Mike is like tied for the most immunity wins in the history of the game, exactly when he needed all of them.
Yep.
Mike wins. Like, Mike is one of the best survivors of all time, and if you don't give him $1 million, then you all are fucking idiots.
Yeah, and even then, like, the people who, like, okay, most people didn't even really, aside from Rodney, most people didn't bother to address Will at all, which is good. That's what he deserved. Good.
Yeah.
But Carolyn, when they addressed her, she would always talk about how, oh, you know, in order to get this far in the game, you have to do things that you're going to regret and blah, blah, blah. And the problem is, you are literally sitting right next to Mike, who has not done anything that he regrets. Well, I'm sorry, he did one thing that he regrets. And even then, I'm telling him right now, you don't need to regret.
No, that was a smart move. And
yeah, it was a smart move. What you need to regret is the way it fell out. But the thing is, you didn't go through with it. And that's why you shouldn't. No, I'm saying that's why he shouldn't regret it. Because he was tempted, which is something that every normal, rational human being would be tempted by. It's natural. Yeah. And he resisted the temptation. So Mike should not feel regret for that move, in my opinion, whatsoever. So he hasn't done anything ignoble or whatever. Carolyn can rationalize all she wants. But she did bad things that were empirically not necessary.
Yeah. She is a manager. Yeah. I did horrible things, but I did it in a situation you have to do horrible things.
Right, right.
Well, the competition's not doing horrible things.
It was competition, it was the rules of the game. And that's the thing, is also, look, I want to be clear. Aside from the fact that she was really mean to Shirin, I have nothing against Carolyn. And even then, like, she seemed to lighten up a lot, especially once Will got super mean. Once he made it personal, she seemed to have been like, all right, I'm going to just, you know, step back or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? She wasn't doing anything too bad. So I don't have anything personally against her. I bet you in her real life, she's a decent enough person who appears to be married to a Kryptonian with a name like Joel-El. But, I mean, so whatever. But that's the thing, is I still don't believe she deserved to win this game.
No, but I think she was one of the better competitors of the season. I will give her that. I will. But
No, that's fair. I know I'm never going to argue against someone who says she was a good competitor. I don't agree, but I can see why you would think that. So I'm not going to argue.
Okay.
How un-internet-like of me, huh?
Then we get Shireen's...
Shireen!
How many times...
That was amazing. I know you're not going to hear this because you're in Cambodia, but that was amazing.
How many times do you think she practiced that? Like, you know, because she's such a super fan. She stood in front of a mirror and practiced that shit at Ponderosa for like days. She practiced
it exactly the correct number of times. Like even at the end when she, making air quotes here, she forgot to say dead fish at the end and made Dan say it. That was so calculated and perfect. That was excellent delivery. I loved every minute of that speech. The only qualm I can have with it was, it's pretty obvious you were voting for Mike. It was real obvious you were going to vote for him.
She
flat out told them, she was like, but I'm not going to vote for you. I'm going to vote for Carolyn.
No, she said, Carolyn, you're still in the mix. That's different. That's different.
She said, but Carolyn, I can respect the game that you played. And if you really convince me right now.
She said Carolyn played the best game were her exact words.
Yeah.
I would have to go back. I'll do my...
I'm sure she flat out said she was going to vote.
I'm going to have to review the tape, but I don't think that's exactly what she said. But unless we're going to pause while I watch this.
Nope. Listeners can go find themselves. So then we get all of that and then we get Jeff grabbing the jar and walking off the set in Nicaragua and walking on set in New York. I love that every time. It's so cheesy. It's great,
but you know, honestly, I miss back in the day when he would like climb into a helicopter and fly to New York, quote unquote. Although now it seems to be in LA, but regardless, point being, I miss him flying over there like he's been.
We can get that back. We just need to get more of our friends to. We just need to get more of our friends to watch. It's just ratings.
Exactly. They're like, oh, also, there's nobody believes that, so they're gonna get rid of that. But I do like the whole kayfabe thing of that.
Yeah,
my favorite one was back in the day before you knew that's what was gonna happen every time, and they made it look like they were still at the camp, and then they turned on the lights and like, oh shit,
the studio. That dude, that was pretty neat. Yeah. So then after he walks out, they count the votes and Mike wins. And then the most adorable thing, like a Mike is so excited, he basically plows over his mother.
Yeah. I was really surprised. It looked like he just tackled her.
Yeah.
But whatever. He's excited.
And they didn't fall over.
Stolid person, so she absorbed that tackle like a pro.
I was just thinking,
good for him,
woman.
Too. You know, I mean, I'm, this is the thing. If this season had ended, I think I could have accepted Carolyn winning. All right, I could have accepted that. If Rodney or Will or Dan had won, I would have been livid. I would have been angry.
I don't think that would have happened with the jury. It would have to have been those three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been that.
Absolute darkest timeline if the three of them had won. But it's ended real well, you know, because that's the thing, is this season has been kind of plagued with social controversy, and so it's nice to see that even with that, it still ended on a good note. Because, you know, there's definitely seasons where the last good person gets voted off, and there's still like six people left, and you're like, why am I watching the rest of this? I don't like any of these people. So this was good.
Yeah.
I don't think, I kind of disagree with you, but though I don't think Carolyn could have won unless it was, you know, like Carolyn Will Rodney.
Yeah.
And then
Carolyn Will Dan.
Yeah, I somewhat disagree there, but Carolyn, I don't know. She's good, but whatever. I'm glad she's on the next one. I'm kind of tired of seeing her, whatever.
So we get all of you.
I was going to say, the second Mike won that final immunity, I was like, oh, congratulations, Mike. Good job.
Yeah, you just won a million bucks. Good for you.
Yeah.
What's sad, honestly, so here's the saddest thing to me. Will gets $100,000 because he and Carolyn are both runners-up because nobody – one more person had voted Carolyn, she would have been number two. Will would have been number three.
God damn it, Rodney.
Right, yeah, Rodney. Well, no, Rodney. Whatever. He voted for his boy, his bro.
That's stupid.
I don't think that's how it works anyway. I'm pretty sure they would both get it anyway, just for making it to the final.
No, well, if you get the fewest votes, if you get no votes or whatever, that sort of thing, then you're third place, and you get I forget what third place is, but
$100.
No, last place is $10,000. So. Okay. Hey guys, if you ever want to make $10,000, apply for this show, lose early, and then just spend a month on a vacation and get paid $10,000. Seems like a good plan to me, right?
I'm gonna make a video.
tomorrow. I didn't know about that. I'm gonna submit a video tomorrow.
I'm gonna look crazy too.
It's a pretty good deal. Okay, granted that was what Sonya got, so maybe things have changed since season one. But odds are things haven't changed that much.
We can find out. I have like 3 months of vacation saved up.
Yeah.
So we get to the reunion show, and Rodney, they make a big point about Rodney being in a suit, and Rodney looks like a fucking used car salesman with his combed over hair, bright suit and tie.
Okay, so back me up on this. He looked exactly like Joaquin, right?
No, he wanted to look like Joaquin.
Yeah, Joaquin, he looks like, oh, you're right. He
Joaquin
looked like
actually
doing
has
a Joaquin
the polish
impression.
To pull that off. Joaquin knows what a good suit is and what a bad suit is. Joaquin knows what a good and a bad tie is.
Or was that suit way too big for him?
It was it was too big for him. The shoulder pads were too big. It was a bad cut for him. Like Joaquin gets a suit.
I like to think that he's from Boston, so clearly he was dressing up as a mighty mighty Boston.
No, like if Joaquin wants a suit to go on the show, Joaquin's gonna go to a fancy boutique suit maker and have it tailored for him. Rodney went to Kohl's,
yes,
or like fucking JCPenney. And, you know, good on you, Rodney, for wanting to be a better, more presentable individual. Good on you for trying. But, man.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think JCPenney still exists.
No, it does. It does. I was there the other day. I dressed in JCPenney.
Yeah, there's a Penny's at Velco.
No, that one closed.
I don't think that counts as existing.
That one closed.
I shop there. I like Penny's.
Anyway. Yeah.
Regardless, so yeah.
But the big chunk of the union was Jeff trying to address a bunch of the stuff on social media, and I really, really, really liked Jeff in this episode.
Yeah.
Not only for bringing it up and talking about it, but then with Dan being like, Dan, you have publicly said that it's bullshit. You have publicly gone on record and said that we painted you the villain, that we did this to you, and we this and we that. Dan, I work for this show, and I love this show, and this show is my life. And he loves this. I think he would be the biggest fan if he wasn't on this show. He loves this shit.
Of course, because you know what he did before this? He did a viewer mail segment for FX, and they had to make up half of the emails.
He was the host of Rock and Roll Jeopardy. Okay.
Rock and Roll Jeopardy too. Oh my god. See, but that's the thing. So of course he loves this. Now
he loves this shit. And so of course he has to be like, Dan, if you're going to put all this shit all over social media that we painted you the villain and we took shit out of contest and that we were horrible to you, and he's like, we do that sometimes. He says straight up, we do that. We do creative editing to make a good story. And they've said that tons of times. But he was like, but Dan, you called out specific times and I want to call you out. Like, this is my show and I love it and we work hard on it and I want to show people that we work hard on it and that we show people when it's important. Yeah, well, it's like, he has pride in his work, and he wanted to call Dan out for shitting on his work, which, honestly, Dan, if you're blue collar, you should understand how bad it is to shit on somebody who works that hard, and you didn't. So Jeff gave it back to you, and I love you for doing that, Jeff. That was great.
Survivor has, in the past, had some issues, and Jeff has called him out again. Like, if you remember, I don't remember how long ago it was, but there was a contestant who during tribal council, when he got voted out, he asked one of the other tribesmates, like, hey, are you gay? I mean, if you are, that's okay, but, you know, you should admit it or something like that. And then he got voted out and he went away. And then at the reunion, he said, hey, Jeff said to that same guy, he's like, hey, do you have anything you want to say about that? And the guy started to go like, no, I didn't mean nothing by it. I just wanted to know. And then Jeff cut him off and said, hey, look, I'm sorry. I gave you your chance and you decided to waste it. So we're going to move on. Yeah. And so they, yeah, no, Survivor, this is a good thing about the show, that they will raise these issues. And like Jeff was on at least two occasions, he stopped to explain to Dan, look, I don't think you're a bad person. And this is in this. What you've said is not the reason that you're not going to be on the next season. We would like to have you back because you make compelling television. Because what was so great about season one? What was great about season one was the homophobe Rudy learning, like being forced to work with a gay man and realize, come face to face with his own issues and realize, oh, this is a good guy. And so that's what makes this show great. So Dan, being an older person, and here's the thing, I've been pretty harsh on him, and I somewhat regret that because I really don't think he's that terrible of a human being. And I do think he maybe was a little bit of a victim of editing, the internet outrage machine, I should say. He was a little bit of a victim of that. But he also dug his own grave, especially after the fact. Because, okay, it's one thing to say when he made that comment about someone slapped Shireen and calling Rodney's mother a whore. That's clearly a reasonable human being would say, all right, he's not actually saying, hey, somebody pick up this woman and beat her about the face. And that's an okay thing to do. Nobody would say that he's saying that. And I'm the biggest Shireen fan out there. So I feel like he's getting a little bit of flack for that.
No. Okay. I will say... Like, and this is what Jeff was trying to get across. Like, Dan, the joking somebody shut her up, that's one thing. But to choose the word somebody slap her, that choice of words, that choice of turn of phrase, like, you wouldn't say someone slap Rodney. You would say somebody shut Rodney up.
Well, like, no, because I would say I'm going to, like, there's implied point, sexism. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for this man in Maine. He would say somebody, if he said somebody strangle Rodney. Like, he would say, somebody just shut him up, somebody kill him, or whatever, that sort of thing. I'm going to kill you. Because that is something that people say from time to time. And so I can kind of see that. Now, that said, all the other stuff he said, Dan, that is indefensible. The way he would talk down to the women contestants, that is indefensible. And I'm a little bit peeved that Jeff didn't press that further, but I can kind of see why. You know, you're in the middle of it. There's
two other contestants to talk to, too.
You got two other contestants. Also, you know, Dan is sort of filibustering and they're running out of time. Yeah. And you can already see he's only making his own case look worse.
Yep.
And so it's like, all right, we're not going to stick the boot in even further. We'll just let people make their own mind. So I get that. But that is the thing. Like, for instance, when he was saying to Sierra, you know, just close your eyes or close your mouth, shut up and open your ears. Or when he was saying like, women, yes, dear, you're right, dear. That sort of thing. You got to listen like a girl. That kind of thing. That's genuinely offensive.
Yeah.
And that's something that needs to stop. But unfortunately, that didn't get caught up. And the thing is also when he was asked that over social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, he would always give the not all answer, you know, like, oh, we need to, all people need to be respected, not just women. We need to respect everyone, which is just bullshit. So,
yeah.
So, as I said, I don't judge him too harshly because I feel like he's probably a decent guy.
Of the three, Dan's the best.
Yeah, of the three, he's the best. But, well, actually, no, honestly, of the three, I think Rodney might be the best. And then Dan. Really? Dan, though, here's the. He is ignorant, and he's just, you know, he's older, and he's a terrible player, you know, that sort of thing. He's not nearly as smart as he thinks he is.
Wait, what did his shirt say? I forgot.
It said male escort, because he's a post office. But that's the thing, is he doesn't realize, hey, I'm already in the shit for saying things that are somewhat sexist. Male escort, maybe I shouldn't do this.
No, he chose that shirt because he wanted to make the point, like, look, it's a fucking joke. It's a fucking joke, guys. Like,
yeah.
Like, okay.
Wait, explain this to me. How does him wearing a shirt that says male escort make him sexist?
No. I'm saying if you are under constant fire for being a sexist asshole, don't wear a shirt that could be construed as sexist.
I agree. That doesn't make any sense.
It's a funny shirt. I agree. I don't think it is either. I don't think it's wrong to wear that shirt. I'm just saying it's stupid to wear that shirt. Yeah. To this. Like,
I don't see how that isn't any way related to women having a shirt that says male escort. I'm just saying he chose
a gender-based joke on purpose because he knew how he was viewed, when really you could have worn, I don't know, fucking anything else and made a better impression on your critics.
Cause Brian, here's the thing. Like, even though that's not okay, A number one, it's a stupid joke. Whatever. I don't care. Yes. But B number it's two, funny. The thing is, it is a joke, and the problem is, if you've been attacked for being offensive, that kind of thing, and you decide, I'm going to make a joke, what that's saying is, everybody who has attacked me, fuck you all. You have no right, whatever, that sort of thing.
None of you all can take a joke.
So exactly. It's like, it's prodding them, and when it's like, you should not be prodding them. Not only because you're wrong, like, as he is, but because it's just like, you know what, you're just, at that point, you're just kind of trolling them.
Yeah.
And of course, they're going to react to that. So that's why Jeff brought it up. And I agree with him on that.
I'm not saying that shirt makes him sexist. I'm not saying that shirt is stupid. The shirt's a fine shirt. He can wear it any other day of the year, especially because he's a mailman. Because he's a mailman, it's funnier on him. I'm just saying it was stupid to wear it to this.
It's not sexist, but it's provocative. And the thing is, he's provoking people who think he's sexist, so that doesn't help him at all. And that's why he's getting more shit over it is all. Like, I agree with you. It's not an offensive shirt. Well, okay, wait. It's offensive to anybody who likes good comedy. This is like the Dane Cook. Yeah, it's the Dane Cook of t-shirts. And first off, he's wearing a t-shirt to the reunion.
I know, right? Even Rodney.
You know what? The guy who won $1 million was also wearing a t-shirt. So.
Yeah, but he won $1 million. He's a millionaire. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. Even Rodney put on a fucking suit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
It's just ridiculous when he did it.
Just dress up a little bit, man. Also, realize the gravity of the situation and realize that, you know what? Maybe this isn't a time to make a joke.
Yeah.
That's why people are actually kind of offended and why the shirt was brought up. It's like, are you seriously trying to make a joke right now?
About Come this?
Yeah. It's like, that's the thing. That's all. Right after that, Jeff moves right on to Will. And honestly, I think I've said enough about Will, but it was one of those things where it was like the most forced apology, and you could tell, he didn't care.
No. He's never going to talk to Shireen, and he doesn't
care. The best part was she didn't buy it either.
Yeah.
My favorite was she's like, if you could explain why I don't have a soul and why not having a soul makes it okay to treat me like that, then maybe. But fuck you.
That was great.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, he had no response whatsoever. So, you know what? Good for her. And so, A, number one, she got to live the dream for a little bit. So that's great. But B, number two, she stood up to him and found that, hey, you know what? There are people who are willing to defend you. So that's good. I'm just super happy. She's going to be in the next season playing with real players, people who have seen her in her plight.
And playing without Max. And
be able to respect her. I don't think she's... Yeah, exactly, without Max. Thank God. I'm sad Shane didn't come back. I loved Shane. But regardless, I don't know how long she'll last because now she's playing with veterans. But it'll still be interesting to see.
You know what? Speaking of that, that was the second time I cheered when they said that she was going on again. But she has no chance of winning because she blew it during Tribal Council when she admitted that she's already rich. So as she makes it to the end, they will all play that like, well, you don't need the money card. So
that's
well,
true.
She has the benefit of having seen all of these people play.
Well, but they've seen her play now, too. This isn't like when Russell Hantz was on Heroes and Villains or Redemption Island or whatever it was.
That's true.
Yeah, they hadn't seen him, but he had seen them. This is different, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like she did like anything like, you know.
Well,
not
they
like
know
she was doing a bunch of manipulative shit or something that they need to know about. You know.
What
she was just kind of hanging out, honestly.
I think the playbook on her is that she'll make the moves. Like she tried to make some moves in this season, and unfortunately, they just didn't work out because you know they were all under the cult of Rodney and stuck Blue Strong or whatever the hell they were saying. And so they didn't, her moves unfortunately fell on deaf ears. But the book on her is that she is willing to make those moves and she knows what moves need to be made. So we'll see. It'll be, yeah. Cambodia will be a very interesting season.
It will be. I'm really looking forward to watching it. And then yeah. I guess we round up the misogyny trio with Rodney. But I mean, the problem with Rodney is Rodney knows that he doesn't respect women the way he respects men. Yeah. He's said it multiple times. So, like, what yeah. are you going to say to that? Like, it's not that you can't teach him that it's wrong. He knows it's yeah. wrong.
Well, also, as I said, like, really, he's only blown up one time. He blew up at Lindsay. He provoked a fight with Lindsay about women need to be a higher standard. But beyond that, other than that one time, he didn't do anything too misogynistic, too sexist. And he grew as a person through this, by accepting his sister's death and all that kind of stuff, which really sounds like something from an actual fictional TV show, but this is why this show is great, because it's real, people. Yeah. And to the point where even Shirin afterwards has talked about how he's a pretty nice guy and an entertaining guy and not that bad. So I feel like they let him off lightly because ultimately, he really doesn't seem that bad. He seems fairly benign as a result.
Yeah. He's just got a machismo problem.
Yeah. And
that is just really annoying, but.
Yeah. He's also a tiny man, like a very tiny person.
He's a bro.
Yeah. Tiny people, they tend, not talking about little people, but tiny people, they've got ego issues.
And then Jeff wraps this episode up with the sassiest bow ever. He sasses the shit out of the park with Rodney on this fucking beautiful island with an experience that millions of people want to have has the worst birthday ever. I'm really sorry for you, Rodney. He gets him the fucking cake. I was in my office watching this, like, right after my lunch break, because of course this episode's super long, so I kind of was watching it while I was working, and then this ran over into the end of my lunch break. And I could not stop fucking laughing sitting in my office the fucking cake. And they sing.
Yeah. And here's the thing. He did not get mad. He took it the spirit it was intended.
Yeah.
He laughed along with everyone else.
Oh, man. I mean, how could you not? I mean, even a guy like that, how could you not?
Yeah. He knew. He knew what it was up.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up season 30. We're going to wrap up the bets. Brian loses 4 points and I get 4 points. Brian bet that Carolyn goes home with an idol in her pocket. We waited just in case maybe there was another necklace hidden something
out
there.
Is that why we waited? Or?
Yeah, just in case. You never fucking know.
We didn't forget about it.
You never fucking know. So I get 4 points from Brian for that. Question, did Shirin rail on anybody during the jury thing?
No, not even close.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I guess we're going to decide that she didn't. So Nick is going to lose 2 points for that
because
Nick argued that the railing would happen, but it did not.
Well, in that case, then she definitely railed against Will. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it was about anybody except Will anyway, so that didn't.
Oh, she railed against Carolyn? Is that going to work? No? Okay. That's fine. I still beat you by 12, so I don't care.
Yeah, that's negative two for Nick.
You shut up.
So
Face the master.
I had 65 points, and I got 3 from Rodney and 4 from the bet to bring me up to a whopping 72, which isn't even as high as I was like 3 weeks ago after all those fucking bets. Brian came in second with 104 points. He had 100 last week, gained 6, 3 from Will, 3 from Carolyn, but lost 4 from the bet.
And gain two
back from another bet. But Nick wins with 116 points because, okay, he had 101 last week and he lost 2, so that brings him down to 99. And Sierra got voted out in the first half, so Sierra got him 0.
And then how many points did I get from Mike just now?
So, you get 2 from Mike for the first reward. 2 from Mike for the first immunity.
Keep counting.
3 more for surviving the first tribal. 2 more for winning immunity again. 3 for surviving the second tribal.
That's pretty good.
And then 5 for winning it all. Nick, Mike got you 17 points just this episode.
What an asshole.
That's pretty nice because, you know, even if he hadn't won, if Carolyn had still won, I still would have won this game. 111 to 109. Like the Warriors. Oh, man. So I want to cheer all my fans, all two people who listen to this thing. I want to cheer you all on. Thank you for believing in me. I am a Fantasy Survivor Master. I will be keeping I guess I can't keep Shirin because she isn't on my team since she got voted out, but I will be taking Shirin, Steven, and Terry next year.
Maybe. We will see. We will see. We're going to have to do a random roll of the die again, and you might not get first. I might get to pick up Shirin. Yeah. All right.
I honestly don't remember most of those people.
I felt kind of bad. So China is one of my absolute favorite seasons ever, and PG apparently is from China. I'm just like, I don't know who you are at all. I'm just looking at her, and when Jeff said, PG from China, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
So, guys, do we know what we're doing next week? I don't know.
We should maybe take 1 week off. But,
yeah, we'll take a little bit of time off. We'll sort some shit out. So, yeah. You know what? Next time, who the hell knows? I don't even know when next time is going to be. But you know what? If you're subscribed to us on iTunes or subscribe to us on outwitoutplayoutcast.com, there's a little RSS button at the bottom of every page. Or you can subscribe to us through Night of the Living Geeks, which is notlg.com. If you subscribe any of those places, the second we put out an episode, you'll get it. Yay. Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, follow us on Twitter. We'll figure it out. I crowdsourced something last week, and no one responded, but that's okay, because I didn't expect it.
Well, you post the things, and I have to say, I avoid you when you talk about Survivor for a day or two, because I don't watch the same time you do. I have to wait.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Today. I watched it today. Ooh. So, yeah, of course that worked. That's a nice one. I watched it after all of you guys. So
I had to watch it last night because I didn't have time to watch it today.
Oh, you two switched. That's cute. I'll have to swap it up. So, actually, since it's the finale of this season, for us as well, we're going to have my favorite outro one last time.
One last time.
Yes.
I will give you 10 points.
Every time next season. I mean,
I will give you 10 points if you don't play that thing.
You need to give me 13 points to not play it.
No,
because then I'll lose. I would rather win.
This is the last time, then we're going to retire it forever.
Brian, we'll both give him 20 points. It'll be okay. We'll still win. Oh, wait, never mind. Math is hard.
Almost. I think you both win. All right, that's it. Until next time, everybody.
Do the goddamn outro.
Circle of life. Life is a circle. We're going round and round. Right on.